Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Yes. There we go. It's not. So we're still controlling that one.
Let me know if you guys want cuts.
It's like controlling the mic, even though I have this one selected. Whatever. Don't matter.
We care a lot.
There we go. So yeah, everything's going. Everything seems to be running fine.
I do love me some Faith No More.
Oh yeah.
Hell yeah.
So, the Dunce Podcast. The Stool Podcast. You're dummy.
One more take.
Start again. The Stool Podcast.
Welcome. Welcome, people. Welcome. What's your name, Nick? You're going to tell them who you are? Shit. No, you're doing it. Fuck, you know how to intro?
Right here in the corner.
Mira.
What is it?
You suck.
Mira. What is it?
Look at it.
I feel like we're quiet.
You need to go to...
Can you just turn our headphones up? Or?
I believe so. Be careful
like
here.
You're good, Nick?
Which one's which? Over here, it's on the blue one.
No, it's the little black box on the top. It's on the top of the actual rack unit.
This top?
Behind.
Yeah, but it's on towards the back side.
Oh, I see it.
You remember that thing?
Yes. All right, so which one's which?
The two. I don't know which one's the plug in the which way.
Okay, so
that's mine.
That's yours. Up, down. Up.
Right there.
Better.
Right there. Yeah.
You. Top.
Up.
Yep. Up. Yeah, that's good. Hey. Hey, there I am. Cool. All
right. That's a little better.
Yeah, much better.
I was too pulled away from what was happening.
Beautiful.
I feel like we're good.
These two podcasts. I am Nick, a.k.a. Nick Sardonis.
Oh, this is We Care a Lot, but with the first singer, what's his name? This isn't Mike Patton.
Yeah, no, that's the only one I know is Mike Patton.
This is with the first singer. The first singer was good, too.
Yeah, no, this song's so fun. Just that, I mean...
It's a great song.
Yeah, all you need is that little bass line, you know? So how you guys doing? How you guys been?
Chilling.
What camera are you on right now?
I believe it's like mix. Yes. So we're going to... What is it? This one. Hey, how's it going? That's all three of us. I'm Anthony. That's who?
Johnny. What's Johnny in the house. Everybody? We chilling. We chilling.
Cool. So how's everybody doing? Would you guys want to jump right into topics, or what do you want to do?
You know what? Mike is too high, dude.
Tell me.
It's already too high, dude.
Tell me about Charles Mead. I'll tell you about my
week.
Yeah, go for it. I want to hear it.
So for those who don't know, I'm not doing this yet. So I have a job. Yeah, I drive trucks, dude.
It's not sexy, dude.
I saw a rig. So I saw a rig go off the edge of fucking
something else.
Oh wait. No. You talked over a shit, and that was actually super interesting. What was that?
So I was driving back from Fresno, mm-hmm. was it on Wednesday? Mm-hmm. Went over the grapevine. It was like raining like crazy. I saw a semi truck slide off the side of the edge of the mountain. Dude. Jesus Christ. Like, he was probably like a quarter mile ahead of me. I just saw him go roll over the edge.
Jesus. Did he die?
I don't know.
Oh, I thought you looked it up or something.
No, like it was raining. It was raining hard as shit. I just pulled over and called 911. A bunch of people saw it too.
Jesus, that's actually terrifying.
So like, as soon as I saw the cops show up, I was just like,
"All right, I'm out.
Peace sign.
I ain't trying to fucking sit here."
I'm just like, nothing I can do.
Yeah, there's nothing. You ain't no doctor or no cop. No, you ain't no emergency.
Plus, the 911 operator said you can just continue.
You can like decline to give any statements and stuff like that. Cause I did that at FedEx. I seen a really bad car accident, and I called the cops because it like, seemed like everybody was just going. I was like, all right, well, I'll call the cops real quick. But I kept going. But I told them I saw everything. And they're like, oh, yeah, you can just, you don't have to stay there. And I'm like, yeah, I know. I have work to do. I have deliveries to make. There ain't no way I'm stopping. But yeah, we'll just take a little small statement over the phone. All right, cool, no problem.
That's wild, man. I like to think that everyone knows what they're doing. But dude, I'm like 911 all the time, dude. Because it's like drunk drivers all the time. I see the craziest drunk drivers.
Yeah. You've told me some stories about drunk drivers and just people driving like idiots on the road.
That's what I get surprised at, man. Is when there's all kinds of weird weather going on, and like right now, there's all kinds of crazy weather, and you still see people like driving like fucking maniacs, like total like idiots, like. Speeding when it's like, I don't know if you've ever hydroplaned before in a car, but I've done that before and I learned my lesson from it. It was pretty wild, dude. You go above like 85 when the road's too wet, just the right amount of like loss of traction will screw you. Yep. Yeah. Fucking.
And the other day that it was when it was raining like crazy, I was on my way to my girls and it was raining so hard. I couldn't see on my windshield. Like, even with my wipers full going, still couldn't see. I had to drive 40. There was no way. I was like, I cannot drive fast.
And I don't see, personally, I really don't see the difficulty of doing, you know, actually just doing the groundwork to figure out how long it's going to take you to get somewhere, adding 20 minutes, and then taking your time to get somewhere. Like, when my commute to work, if I wanted to make it, like, really tight, it could be, like, 25-30 minutes, but I give myself a full like 50 minutes just to take my time.
This is what I think it is. I think people value their as much time as they possibly can to bullshit before they have to go somewhere. So they're like, oh, I'll leave exactly at this time. They have it all planned out.
Talking about me. I'm people.
He'll text me like I'm on my way home. So then he'll probably like death scroll on IG for like.
Okay, so today it was not a death scroll. Today I was talking to my nephew. I don't get to see them a lot
today.
So we were talking about. He showed me he modded his DS. He was all excited. I was like, I can't just be like, hey, bro, shut up. I like to be involved in my nephew's lives.
That's why we do.
So today was a good one, a good reason. All the other times, not a good reason.
See, that's why me and you that's where me and you differ. I would have been like,
peace out.
Peace signs. I see you all the time. You can talk to me later.
Right. I don't see them all the time, though. That's the reason. Well, at least this past like week or two, because I've been working nights. I come home and everybody's asleep.
You see them more than you see.
That's true.
He sounded like the abused housewife. You're never home anymore.
The thing is, Mike is actually jealous. That's the problem.
Yeah, no, I feel like there's a little bit of a lull, a little tension. You guys want to hammer anything out between you two, going back and forth here? Little feuding couple.
I just gotta rub his arm a little bit, and he's good, dude.
See that?
He likes it. He likes it.
See, much better. Yeah, that's the vibe. I don't like to see you guys not get along. You guys are too cute to not get along. You know. So, all right. let's I guess yeah, that's some bullshit. we did our bullshit.
This is embarrassing.
Okay, no, honestly, let's hop into the first one because I'm super fascinated by what Mick has to say here with the is AI. Okay,
so, yeah. So if you're a producer, if you're an artist, an engineer of any sort, even the engineers that are what we do as musicians, everything's changing from the way we market our music,
yeah,
from to the way that we have to have a marketing campaign based off of appearance to survive on social media spaces. I feel, yeah. I mean, my thoughts behind everything, including, you know, not to mention the AI coming in. The AI is just going to change the game.
Yeah,
for people's amazement for music as a whole.
Well, this speaks a lot to the whole thing that we were talking about. Like I was saying, that there's like a formula to stuff, and AI is good at that formula. You know, yeah. But AI is good at that formula, and good at like basically having this this means of just tracking down influence faster than humans can, but it needs influence still. It still needs human influence.
Right.
So like it's, if you listen to like AI songs or if you, you know, see AI art, they don't still get fingers right and shit like that.
Yeah.
And you know, so it's like, it's going to get better obviously over time. But, I feel like if you're not able to adapt and be either better than that or use it to be better, or, you know what I mean? It's like, it's just the same thing as this kind of being upset about, you know, horse and buggies versus cars, you know, right? Am I crazy?
Well, I mean, that's not how I was looking at it. I'm looking at it from the sense of the morale from all the people that are musicians today that have worked. It's like, I mean, even like people that go to school for engineering, for instance, audio engineering.
Yeah.
They have master programs now. Mastering programs. Oh, shit. Mastering programs where you don't even need the engineer.
Yeah,
you don't even need a mastering engineer. And they're very competitive masters. They're super good.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And but the thing about it, it's like those types of industry, and I hate using the word industry, but it is part of it, but all the things that are required to make music or sound like a record, sound like something that you want it to be, that the love that comes from an engineer, a producer, is now falling by the wayside. I feel like yes, there has to be human input with AI, but I feel like there's always going to be this, like, from the common listener, that person that's not involved in the music industry, the people that we want to tell our story to, they're not going to have the same prestige for the artisanship behind the music because the existence of AI, because it just makes everything feel so, like it can be mass produced. Like, oh, I can make that too.
Right, right.
I'm not a musician. I can type it in on a prompt. I can make something probably better than you.
Right, right. And then all this is stemmed from the question: is music doomed, or is music taking an approach where AI is going to be more involved and take jobs?
It already is.
Is that why we're talking about this?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I would say it already is. You have people making AI songs, AI Taylor Swift songs.
Right. Right. That's just like fun. That's just good fun, though.
And it is. And that's the way I do look at it, you know, a little bit, is just that it's like, this context of most people who are doing it, they're not, there's this hyper seriousness, right, to being a musician or being an artist, mm-hmm. that I just don't, I've never been on that level with it. Like, to me, like we've explained, like, we've talked about how, like, I'm not necessarily driven by making money off of my art or money off my music. I just like to do it. And it's like an expression for me. And I think that's the point of art. Right. And I think nowadays people who, like, are able to, like, make a lifestyle off of, you know, just selling art or doing, like, photographers right now, I think that's such an over-conflated industry. Like, people make too much money from doing that. I think it's weird. It sets off the, like, that's one of the reasons that there's an imbalance in our economy, is because there's less service industry jobs being actually fulfilled versus artisan jobs. And artisan jobs do nothing but add commerce and nothing else. And, like, to me, it's like, it's, there's this whole concept of, you know, you want to be expressive or whatever, but I also think that there's this element of you have to contribute to society too. And I think a lot of people confuse the idea of, like, oh yeah, I could get famous on YouTube or doing this, with, like, still contributing to society. That's why there's such a fall off on quality control of, like, you know, things that you have delivered to you, or, you know, stuff like that. This is totally out of realm, but, like, that's what I'm saying, is that, like, that's the new technology. That's, like, its adaptation. I don't know. One of you guys take it from there. Like, that's, do we adapt with it or not? I kind of say adapt with it.
My thing, though, is music is not just an artist for me. It's not just the artist or the producer. It's also the people that make media for television, some of the most captivating documentaries.
Absolutely. I love music
for people that are doing a lot of placement work, you know, behind the scenes, that are working with music supervisors, you know what I mean, to get their stuff out there. And, you know, they're not trying to go for the glory, but they're creating things that can be used in something really inspired visually also. So I feel like the AI, it's like, that's going to put a huge dent in placements too. People that do make money off of that, people that...
I think it will affect the industry for sure, but that's another product of adaptation. Like I said, I mean, this is not a popular opinion for me to share, but I do firmly believe that artisan jobs do need to be taken back by the economy. They need, like, there's people who, like, they live in LA and they have, like, make tons of money off of videography work, and it's just not as important of work to making society's wheels run as it used to be in, like, the 50s, where you had to work at a gas station, you had to work at a mini mart, you had to do something that contribute to actual, you know, like, the movement of products. And there's less and less of that. And so there's more automation of people doing this, you know, those kinds of jobs. And so it's like, that's, like I said, that's an adaptation. I don't think there's no denying it.
My kind of thought of process behind that is because there's that, but there's also, like, the point, what I'm trying to make is, like, the grind that we have to do on the day-to-day basis to make this shit happen. I mean, we have our 9-to-5 jobs. I mean, yes, we are contributing to the economy.
Right? Absolutely.
At this point. And, you know, being successful at either photography, videography, music, production, whatever the fuck, you know what I mean, you can do. I mean, to get good at that point, you have to do stuff that does contribute to the economy.
Up till now, that's how it's been. And now what we're witnessing is a big actual shift in how that's going to work, because there's people who don't have to necessarily be good artists to make good art. And that isn't going to stop people who've, like, for example, people who haven't always had the time. You know what I mean? Like, you know, we were talking about AI art before, Johnny.
Yeah.
You know, like, how it's like, man, it's very convenient, you know, when you don't have the time to sit down and do this stuff. You know?
Right. And that's why I agree with the adaptation part of what you're talking about. I feel like there's no stopping AI. They're going to keep developing it more and more in different aspects and different ways, in different industries, right? It's just not going to stop. So, yeah, adapt to what works for you, you know? So if we're in the music industry, and me and Mick, we do some AI work within our music, you know, when it comes to, like, mastering and stuff like that. We write everything, but there's forms of stuff that we use, so our workflow is faster and we get things out when we want to and quicker. Same thing with art. Like, I see people using AI art, which we do that with our logos and with our stuff. I mold it to what we want it to be, but we start with a shell or something, you know, like, when we're doing AI art.
Yeah, I mean, if you put creative influence onto something that was artificially created, I mean, yeah, there's Yeah, definitely. That's a form of art and stuff.
Yeah,
that's
it is. Really, yeah.
And that's my kind of part with it, where it's like, okay, so we can look at it in two ways, right? We could look at it as, is it a way for artists who have like really, and this is the part that's a bummer, right? Is because what you're speaking to is that all the people who have taken the time in the past, let's say 50 years, you know, time period, to become graphic designers, or the people where these are skill sets where it's like before AI, you had to go to these people to do this kind of stuff. And now they're being faced with a technology that basically is minimalizing what they do. It's kind of minimizing what they do. It's kind of making it a thing where it's like, oh yeah, well now this is a thing that's accessible to even people who don't have those talents or haven't put in that time, but you could still put up something that has a relative quality to it. And so there's that, dude. You're opening all the people who really don't have the time after a day job to work on, you know, being a painter or whatever, getting to realize those dreams, that ability to do it, you know. And then you also have the other side where it's like, okay, you have the artists who I think are kind of spoiled, man. I think artists are spoiled with how much they're gratified these days by what they do. Art is not that special that it should be something you could build your lifestyle off of. I know that's a crazy thing to say.
I don't think it is, dude.
I think there's something to the idea, like I said, of being constant contribution to society as well, and then also being able to be an artist. The idea, I think we're all very indoctrinated to the idea that rock stars and movie stars are rich and famous and palatable, and they're up on these platforms, and they shouldn't be. They absolutely shouldn't be. They're not saving lives. They're not doing anything that doctors do.
That's a relative thing, kind of. A lot of people think of music this way, where it changes the way they feel, right? Because that's what music does.
Oh, this actually kind of segues into one of our other topics real quick, actually.
And it takes you into a different place. I know if I didn't have music, dude, I would have ended it a long time ago.
Yeah, no, absolutely. There's definitely bands that I credit with like being like emotionally, like I'm attached to them emotionally. Yeah, like, I don't think that is a currency that travels well in an economy like ours.
That's where I was talking about the placements on like documentaries and TV shows and stuff. I mean, just how even music has you can put Limp Bizkit on a documentary, but then put something that actually fits with whatever's.
I'm not sure I follow. What do you
like you can put something, you can put any kind of music on a documentary. You don't have to put something that's complementary to what the documentary is for. I'm just using a documentary as an example. But the documentary, what sells it a lot of the time, it's not just the messaging, but it's just audio, because audio is a really important thing, even for
podcasts. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's what moves me in movies half the time, most of the time, I'd say.
Yeah, yeah.
So all like the sound design, all the people in the sound design, shout out. I love you guys. There's a lot of really talented sound design guys. I mean, they do really interesting things to pull out a narrative out of a movie just by getting you audibly invested into something. But the inspiration that comes from stuff like that, you know what I mean? I mean, there's movies on all kinds of like rural life jobs, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
To be a pilot, to be a ace pool player, to be there's even movies with fucking bartenders.
Yeah. Shout out Cocktail.
I mean, they don't really get it.
No. Yeah. You know what? Shout out Coyote Ugly. There you go.
Yeah. I've been to that actual bar, dude.
Really?
It's in Vegas. Yeah. I've been there.
I would go there, dude. I would just ask them to sing me Leon Rhymes and then have a shot and walk out.
Well, it wasn't like that. It was a pretty intense bar, though. All the girls were like jumping on the bar, and then the bartenders were all girls, and they were encouraging it, and it was nuts. It was on Halloween. It was freaking nuts. Everybody was just like partying like crazy in that bar. I've never seen a bar like that, you know?
Now the question is, did they sing you Leon Rhymes?
No.
All that sounded so good until you said they didn't. But sorry, I'm sorry with that. We interrupted you, dude. Continue.
That was a tangent. No, I mean, what I was trying to get at was, like, music does have a place in the economy to where it's like it. Because I mean, Joe Rogan has talked about this too. about what are humans. We're just a species that just creates better things.
Yeah. I mean,
we're always creating better
things. We have to create.
Like, that's why there's always a new phone. So the thing about it is, like, we want better things because we want to make better things and we want to have a contribution towards in our lives that creates better outcomes, better things, better
For the future,
better everything. And it just I feel like we're kind of hardwired like that.
To speak to that a little bit, right? To say music contributes the way that, you know, being a doctor does or anything like those are conflatable.
We're not saying all music,
right? Okay,
some
so
music,
okay,
listen to 21 Savage. You're like, what the fuck?
So yeah, and that honestly, that all lands on another relative scale of how you like to judge the quality of music by genre or whatever. But let's say we're judging the quality of what your contribution to the world is. And you have neuroscientists and people inventing the iPhone, and then you have musicians. So there's a relative scale of the quality of like what your contribution is.
Right.
And you could even go further, like, oh yeah, I just put stuff in a box at Amazon. That's like lower down this scale of what your contribution is.
Right.
Okay. And so that's why those jobs are a quality, like, you know, you make $18 an hour working at Amazon and it's not like the best pay because it's not the most crafted. Yeah. It's not the most literally, dude, you could make better money at McDonald's these days, but it's not the most hard crafted job. It's an easy skill to teach. So it lies on a scale of quality. And that's the thing. There's this whole thing, like there's a big, like imbalance of the idea of the stuff that contributes quality to life. Like, so being a doctor is something that like, it's mostly nowadays people who are doctors, they're chasing it because of the money, not because of the quality of the craft. So it's like, that's why we have such a, like an impetus on our whole, there's all kind of detrimental shit going on with our medical system. You know what I mean? It's because there's people aren't focusing on the quality of the crafts that they do. And that's the thing is music and YouTube and being a celebrity. These are all things that are like, they're hoisted up like things that like these are this is the best sort of life that you could be leading.
Can I chime in on that a little bit? It just because I mean look at doctors are in it for the money. Any job that we take, realistically at the end of the day, it's for the money. It's because a lot of the times people are like, oh, like they'll be at a mechanic job and they're just counting down the years to get their retirement and their full pension. The things that bring joy in their life is just simple stuff. Stuff that doesn't, again, apply to the economy, though. Like, you have a pool table. I like to play pool on the weekends. That brings joy in a different manner to someone's life. But to say that music is just, it's like overly saturated. Yeah, it's probably the thing that, it's like the job that, you can say that it's like, oh, if you love playing pool, for instance, but then you can make money playing pool.
Right. Instead of
doing something that.
Here's the reason it's important to point out this kind of stuff, because there's a necessity for certain jobs. There's a necessity for certain functions. The necessity for professional pool players lies lower on the hierarchy than the necessity for truck drivers, dude. And that's the reality. The necessity for musician lays lower on the hierarchy than that a neuroscientist. And guess what? There's zero people spending the time to become neuroscientists, and there's a bunch of people trying to become musicians. And that's the thing where I think that there's this whole shit. Like I know I'm not smart enough to be. That's why I don't pursue like higher education. I'm not smart enough to be like a doctor like that. But if I had that in me, like, and I know there's some people that are smart enough to do it, if more of our society contributed to that, I think we'd be better off. And then that would actually translate to like a different way we contributed to art. And that would actually kind of like fix a bunch of problems that are going on with oversaturation of music.
You think it's because people don't love the craft as more than others, or have?
Absolutely. It's like it's like what you were saying to, you know, you were saying about how you spend all the time to put down your songs, but somebody who could come in and swoop in with AI or some sort of program to do all the stuff and take all the shortcuts, they're not going to have the passion for it that you do. Absolutely not. But that's a wave that's going to come, and the cream's going to rise to the top. The people who have that are gonna be able to do, like the more impressive stuff, the more interesting stuff. Right. But it just, you know, now we have to compete with this new wave of, like you said, oversaturation. Of,
yeah,
like,
but the oversaturation is definitely going to deplete, like you said, the cream will rise to the top, because that's how it goes.
Yeah.
We've seen it. We've seen so many bands in our days, all of our homies, oh, I want to start a band too, because they play a little bit of guitar, but they're not playing still. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I think that's already happening. Like, I can see that in the hip hop industry for sure. And like the hip hop genre.
Easiest to make.
And rap. Like, all these rappers so called rappers that think they can rap, these young kids, just start doing it and put some stuff together. And you're like, this is just trash. You're not even flowing correctly.
That's why there's
no rhymes. There's no, but all they can do is just go to SoundCloud or BeatStars and get a couple beats, and they're a rapper now.
Mm-hmm.
So that is different. And those people don't make it because they get so much criticism because they're not that good. Some of them might, and they might get better. You know,
yeah. There's, I was literally just about to say, there's actually exceptions to that rule where the dude, he'll take the initiative, get better, and then you get something, a better product out of it. But that's the cream rising to the top.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? And that's someone who did it through that process, but learned how to do it correctly.
Exactly.
And it is something you see mostly, like you said, with SoundCloud rap and everything. We got a whole genre of stuff where that popped out, like, I would say 5-6 years ago at this point, with like Ghost Mane and all that stuff, where it's now they invented their own shit and they came from that background.
Right.
So it's just a new adaptation, you know, a new thing. Also, you know, to kind of circle back around real quick, I wanted to speak to a point that you had made about, you know, songs being important to you getting through, you know, through times, right? This is a little segue into the other like topic we had. I was going to say about songs that make you depressed, right? Do you ever have
it? Depressed?
Okay,
or?
So no, songs that you realize, songs that you realize are actively contributing to your depression. Do you have anything like that?
Actively contributing to your depression?
Yeah, where it's like, you know, this song is keeping you in a mood when you play it.
Okay, right. I've had a few of those for sure. But those songs did get me through rough times because I'm like, oh, this person felt the way that I felt in this moment, you know, kind of thing. And it makes me feel like I'm not the only one going through it, you know?
Yeah, right. It's like a relatable thing.
Right.
What about you? Like, do you have like a song like you could say or like quote, like, okay, I listened to this like 4 times on repeat in a row, just even though I knew it was fucking.
I have a lot of tracks like that. It's mostly
he's all shout out my Spotify mixed depression playlist.
No, it's for me, it's the Deer Hunter, man.
Like, oh, yeah, so dude. Black Sandy Beaches is one good one.
Yeah.
Profound. I like the Whisper album.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
One of my favorites. I mean, Migrant.
But, right. My whole point on that was basically that, you know, like, it's funny. Like, the other day, like, I just played Marvin's Room probably, like, for, like, 2 hours in a row, just on repeat, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it was just because I was in a mood, and then I realized it was keeping me in a mood, right?
Right.
And so I as soon as I turned it off, I just, like, kind of just, I'm alone, like, with my thoughts. And it actually was, like, so nice. It was, like, a weird thing. It was, like I sat in my depression for, like, 2 hours, and then I shut it off. Right. It was pretty cool.
And it's crazy because that's how I think now. I used to be the type of person that if I'm in a bad mood, I'm going to stay in that bad mood because I want to. I'm just like, no, fuck everything. Well, I don't care. Mm-hmm. I'm going to stay like this. I don't care. If I'm sad, I would do the same thing. You know, whatever mood I was in that was negative, any negative emotion or whatever, I would stay there and I would keep myself there. And I found out that what I've learned, like, from life and like reading and you know, listening to certain things, and you know, I learned that your mind is very powerful, and if you want to be there, you will be there. But if you can, like, just say, hey, look, for me, it's always gratification. Like, I always look at what I'm grateful for. You know, I have a lot of good things in my life, so I'm like, why am I bitching about this little thing? You know, even if it was a big thing, I'm like, if I can't change it, I can't change it. It already happened, or whatever the case is, losing somebody in your family, like anything like that, you cannot change it. There's nothing you can do, right? So it's like, why would you put yourself there and keep yourself there if you cannot change it, right? It's easier said than done. I know. Trust me, I know, because I did the practice. And what I found out is if you practice that mindset of like, hey, I'm just grateful for what I got. I can't change anything that's happened. I'm just going to deal with that and put myself in a good mood, or at least practice to do it. You know what happens when you practice? You get better and you get better, and you get more, you know, what's the word?
Either way, experience.
You get more experience. Okay, yeah, true. And that's what I found out. So, like, if I'm in a bad mood, I usually could snap out of it within, you know, a few minutes, depending on what it is. But it used to take me days, sometimes weeks.
Oh, yeah. No, and honestly, and still yourself, sometimes, depending on how big the thing is that's hitting you. Like, you know, like one thing that'll like annoy the shit out of me is like car trouble. Yeah. If I'm having car trouble, like, and I have to be getting around, I'm dealing with the car trouble consistently as I'm getting around. It's hard to shake that problem. And it's like, fuck, you know, but other like there's stuff where it's like these days, you know, us being all, you know, in our 30s at this point, you know, like kind of just able to not be little bitches about shit.
Right. That's really what it is, though. Just don't be a little bitch about it. You got to man up.
But that it makes it hard on the dating scene, man, because I'm just like, I just don't fucking care. I'm just like, well, you're clearly not the same person that I was talking to. You know what I mean?
I don't know. I don't know.
It's all about practice.
Yeah,
practice in your mind.
Practice here. Here's
practice and practice.
Another terrible segue right here. We'll go on to this this song. I know it's been hovering over the podcast this whole time, but this is NF, right? That's how you say it, just NF?
NF, yep.
And a song called Hope.
It's a good song.
It should be playing. Hold on, I gotta make sure it's playing. There we go.
Yeah, just make sure you keep constantly switch through everything. Cameras. Because it's just better for us. Yep. Hey, that's me.
It's you. You asked for it. You got it.
This guy's so good, dude. I got his album. I got his sign.
I love it so far. Where's he from?
I don't want you to feel I'm not sure where he's from. He's really good. He used to always rap in the church.
Rap church, I like that.
Yeah, he used to, at his church and stuff that he grew up going to, he would rap, like rap for everybody and play shows and stuff. But it's time to give the people something different. Sick visuals in this song.
Oh yeah, the video. That's what I was about to say. The video, whoever directed it, is awesome. Hope. I love it, man. This is awesome. I love stuff that's big and theatrical.
Yeah, me too. Standing up for what you know is what will everybody else is. My definition of success. Creating something no one else can. Being brave enough to dream big. Grinding when you're told to just quit. Giving more when you got nothing left. It's a person that'll take a chance on something they were talking never. Honestly, about a year and a half ago, this guy got me through some tough times.
Yeah, it's super powerful times. Music. I'm gonna fast forward a little bit just because
it was like for me, it was like listening to Eminem, but like everything positive, you know. Because Eminem has songs where he's like positive and stuff like that, but that's what it was like. Because Eminem's my favorite, so it was literally like listening to like a very positive Christian and Eminem, which is dope, you know. And he's like his level of skill and flow and like technical writing is very, very good. Like this song just is pretty straight.
The arrangement on it, I was gonna say the arrangement is amazing. Yeah, it's like it had started off with this like honky tonky piano thing, and it moves into this like three quarter with the strings. Insane. So good. So good.
It's pretty dope.
Really awesome. All right, I'm gonna play a little bit more.
All right.
A little further in the song.
All right.
Should be playing. Play. Evil, difficult to go through, yes, but beneficial. Shit. Having a mental breakdown is a negative thing, which on one hand I agree, but on the other hand, it was the push I needed to get help and start the healing process. See, if I'd never hit my bottom, would I be the person that I am today? I don't believe so. I'm a prime example of what happens when you choose to not accept defeat and face your demons. Ooh. Took me 30 years to realize that. When did this song come out?
This is from his newest album.
So it's like this year, last year?
Yeah. Last year. So good, dude. Hold him in my arms and let him know he's loved. Love standing by the window, questioning if that is ever going to show up. Up isn't something he's gonna have to worry about.
Instrumental is shit, dude.
Awesome, yeah. I love it. It's not traditional. It's like literally he is the rhythm. And then when he crescendos everything, brings everything big, that's when you hear percussion. Awesome arrangements, man. 30 years of broken, 30 years of anguish, 30 years of hopeless, 30 years of hey, 30 years of never, 30 years of. And then like you said, the visuals on the video just sell it. Way, way harder. But yeah, I love that, dude. I love that a lot. NF, Hope. That shit is rad.
He's got some dope songs. He's a good storyteller, too. He's got some freaking dope storytelling songs, dude. Super sick.
What is this? What is Chains? And it's a B.B. King song, huh?
Yeah, that's what I brought.
Oh, you're about to do some face fart music. All right, let's go.
All right, so I've been listening to straight blues for the past, like, 3 weeks. Because growing up, this is what my dad listened to, blues and freaking classic rock, oldies.
Here, so I'm going to let you explain, but I'm going to play it, so keep going.
Yeah.
I'm going to play it, but just keep going.
I grew up on it. I'm not depressed right now, okay? It's just, I just love the blues. There's so much feeling in this music.
You know how awesome it is when it's raining like it is, dude, and then you just have this run in the background. I run the fire. Right. Ooh, this is playing.
That's but the although vibe. I will say this cover album is a little bit racist, dude, because that is a watermelon.
I mean, if B.B. King was part of designing it, then I think it's cool.
He clearly signed off on it.
Yeah, I think it's cool. I think.
What if he didn't, though? What if he was just like, oh, that's cool, I like that?
Yeah, honestly, I If
what's
he,
the name of this? Decadent Mississippi Seeds? What is it?
In Indianola, Mississippi Seeds.
Yeah. That's the album. Yeah. Play, and you just improvise, and you just go with the flow. A lot of the songs Johnny. Were written that way.
Oh.
Have you seen that movie, Crossroads?
Crossroads. Dude, is that the one so with Ralph Macchio?
Yeah.
I've seen the famous scene from it, but I've never watched it, dude.
He's like an aspiring musician. He's just playing, you know, blues and like rock music. But he runs into Steve Vai. It's not actually Steve Vai, but it's the character in the movie is Steve Vai, and Steve Vai's like playing blues and rock, but with like a metal like guitar, like electric guitar, all distortion and shit. And he's like, what the, like, it blew his mind, you know, like he just didn't get it. He's like, holy crap, like you can do this. It's pretty sick. That movie's so sick.
Yeah, no, I've seen the famous scene from I should watch that movie. I love Ralph Macchio. Yeah. I love, shout out to my cousin Vinny, that movie's fucking great.
Oh, great.
All right, I might need your help, Mick, with the Nikon. I don't know how to relaunch the Nikon. It's not doing its thing. I don't know why. Right. Tech difficulties.
Just turn it off, turn it back on.
Yeah, try that. Maybe do that.
It's alright.
I already tried launching it again. He's carrying it for us.
Yeah. Sick, dude. This is all I've
there
been
it is.
Too.
It's back. We're good. And we're riding. But
it's cool because I was you know diving deep into B.B. King and you know his he had a family that was like slaves and stuff, and he was talking about his uncle, how his uncle would sing these songs, and he was a great singer, but he would sing them, you know, on the plantation and stuff like that, and that's where he got like kind of the idea of singing, and he's like, oh, I like this, and then he actually started. He saw somebody playing guitar, and he's like, "I wanna try that." So he said that he was to buy the guitar that he wanted was $15, right? $15,
which I mean, back there, I bet that it was a lot.
He said it was a whole month of his salary, and he was like a young, you know, like a teenager at this point. He said it was a month of his salary, and he asked his boss, like, "Hey, can you buy me this guitar?" And they made a deal. He's like, "All right, I'll buy the guitar, and you pay me half this month, half next month, to pay for the guitar." And that's how he started playing guitar. And before that, he lived like, you know, very poor and stuff. And he asked the guy they were renting the house from, him and his mom, right? He asked him if he could put a couple holes on the porch. And he was like, yeah, go ahead. So he put a nail on the top, like on the beam, put a nail on the top and put a nail at the bottom and got a wire and tied it really tight to make it like, you know, really tight. And then put like a piece of wood at the bottom of it, and then put a piece of wood on the top, and was playing songs with the one string, just like moving the piece of wood and messing with the tension while he was hitting it. And he was playing blues like that before he got his guitar. And he was just sitting there in the porch, like singing, like hitting the thing.
Yeah, it's like a little
kid. Wow, that's a really interesting story told crazy? Terribly. That is fucking awesome. Yeah,
I was like, holy crap.
Shows you, dude. Music is in the heart, dude. When society collapses, we'll discover music again. It's just going to be a matter of time. You know,
come on, Armageddon.
Right,
let's go.
I'm ready for it. But
I could be a musician again.
But for me, you know, blues just hits different. You know, I have a little bit of whiskey, just sit there and rock out.
You need a hug, dude.
No, I'm totally fine. It's just I love blues music. I grew up on it.
Typical guy.
Back in the day, yeah, I didn't.
Yeah, no. Honestly, it's like
I need a hug, Mick, and you weren't there.
Yeah, no. Blues music is as Americana as sushi. You know what I mean?
Sushi. Sushi's Japanese.
Is that not a good example?
No, that's Japanese.
Sushi. Well,
maybe a burger.
Ah, that would have been a good example. That would have been an actual good example.
Sushi.
Or football, maybe.
I've never been no sushi. I don't eat anything with eyes on it. All right, so here's my contribution this week. This is a song. It's actually like I was talking to this guy. I think I've probably like played shows with him in the past.
Okay.
But he's like a Southern California musician. He's like from around here, around LA area, I guess. All
right. Cool.
But his thing is called
Promoting Your Friends.
X Dandy. But it's good. It's actually really good. And I want you guys to tell me what you think, because it's super unique. I think it's just, okay. I haven't heard something like that in a long time. All right. But
last week, though, those guys were really good.
Cool if I critique it?
Yeah, of course. Yeah,
oh, that's what we do.
It's definitely worth critiquing.
Which one do you know?
The singer guy.
The singer guy.
Well, I mean, I talked to him, and I feel like I've met him in the past.
Oh, okay. Wonder what I'll get away with this time. It's getting hard to care. I'm on the borderline. I could destroy my life again. I don't know what's stopping me.
I'm getting like a almost like a kind of a Kurt Travis-y vibe.
Yeah, his vocals.
It's definitely not like what I listen to very
much. Right. It's got cool. A very non-traditional sound to it, you know what I mean? But like it's I would say the vocals are not like out of left field kind of vocal. Like more closer to like the Bunny the Bear kind of stuff, I guess.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I feel vocally it could be a little bit tighter on the narrative of the melodies.
That's what me and DJ were talking about it when I showed it. Like the first time you hit it, it's like almost like, is that off? is like, is he doing that? But he's just doing it like super like fast in a way that's interesting. And it's like, that's the thing that caught me. Watch, I'll play the chorus again. I'll let, once you get there.
And I'm okay with that.
Like, you know what I mean? Trying new stuff.
I kind of felt that way when I first heard Thursday for the first
time. Right, right.
But like a lot of hip hop's the same way with some rappers. Like they're on the back end of the beat.
And they do different.
They
do
that they flow.
And then you get this whole like techno-y breakdown bridge, very attack-attacky, but really accomplished in a different way.
The mix is really good.
Right, right. That,
it does sound really
mixed
good.
Awesome.
I feel
music,
like
the music video is a little low quality, but it's kind of has a cool vibe to it.
Right, it adds like to the vibe.
I wonder. I mean, obviously, they probably didn't go into this produced. I'm guessing. They probably didn't have some house produce.
They probably did it everything in house or whatever you're saying.
Because this has a bit. I mean, what I appreciate about it is the rawness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it does sound raw. Yeah,
but it's a really good quality rawness.
Yeah. It's like you got the production in, and then they were able to do all these weird things because there wasn't some dude directing how to make it sound.
Personally, this is just coming from me because I produce and mix and all that shit.
Mm-hmm.
For how the vocals and the instrumentation was recorded and stuff, I feel like it would have having the so the higher the quality you make the track, the more judgy the level of judginess comes out of the track. So I mean, it's, you know what I mean? Does that make sense? Because like I listen to the same track, if it wasn't mixed as good, I'm probably like, oh, this is sick.
Right.
You know what I mean? Just because the mix has a different perception of what's happening on the recording.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So right now we're hearing really driving drums, really driving guitars, really all this stuff. But then you can hear all the other nuances because the mix is so clean.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? To where it's just like it takes away a little bit having it too good of quality for the style.
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's kind of like how, like, think about nu metal, like, because nu metal was always so raw, like Slipknot and Korn, and then once Slipknot started getting like better, you know, the better production, they lost the rawness a little bit. Like after Iowa, I feel like the rawness kind of went away. Like Iowa was perfect because it was still raw, it was gritty.
And then you had some of the production elements in there, exactly, like basically helping capture that rawness, as opposed to
what I was saying though. If that album was like
recorded better, it wouldn't be as good.
This quality, mm-hmm, it probably wouldn't hit the way it hit.
No, it wouldn't have. Yeah, so it's like finding that right balance, right?
Yeah, because I mean, there's the opposite happens too. Like I see with bands, of course, it's like the music is like the shit, but the recording is terrible. And it makes me, for some reason, for a record, for how well you performed that, you deserved it to be mixed right. Better.
Another bands that started doing that was when the deathcore scene started coming up. So, like, Oceano, I really like Oceano, but the freaking
quality of the recording
was so, like, almost too good at times to where it was like, sounds fake, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, the drums just sound all triggered. I mean, they probably were, which is fine, but it's like, it's almost too much. It's like, all right.
Yeah, and honestly, that's the punk rock element of making music, is finding that sweet spot.
Yeah.
You know, where it's like, I want this to sound almost recorded in a garage. I want that effect to my guitar. Mm-hmm. I want to have it, you know, the drums be a little roomy as opposed to be super tight and locked in. And then I want that to be produced well.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
Because you want to have the artist as a mixer. I'm just talking as a mixer. So you want to have the artist's original vision of like when they wrote it, what they were. You want to capture what they were feeling in that moment. Because I'm sure like the moment that they wrote that song in whatever room they were writing it in, it hit the way it hit. And you know what I mean. If the engineers are doing it justice, then. But play some more of this. Yeah, I want to hear some more of this. Skip it.
It's almost over. It's a pretty short song, honestly. We do not condone suicide.
You can't say suicide no more. Oh, shit. You're like unaliving yourself or something like that? Some gay shit like that?
We said suicide.
Alright.
But yeah, that's basically.
The ending was a little too dramatic.
Yeah, it's a little.
That was kind of gay.
It's a little dark, man.
It was really cool.
But yeah, no, it's very unique. Like I said, that's why I wanted your guys' opinion. I was polarized by it. The first time I heard it, I wasn't sure I liked it. I rocked it a second time, and I was like, no, this actually, oh, nice. This actually kicks ass, you know?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
It actually had some, it's like you said, like the things that fascinated me about it was the production. That yeah. Immediately I was like, oh, wow, this seems like somebody who wrote a song in their garage in a day or two and then had it, like, had the means to make it sound huge. You know what I mean?
Right.
So, I don't know.
Yeah,
that was
I like
my take.
I like the rawness of it. It's not totally everything I listen to. There's some bands in that realm that I do like. It's girl music, and I don't know why you guys are listening to it.
I love girl music, man.
You
I love very
both
melodic
love
sing-
girl music.
Yeah, dude, I love girl
you
music.
You and this guy.
Not as much
fucking
as this
Mr. Chiodos over here.
I love that shit.
See?
What do you define in, like, okay, so Chiodos, let's say, is on the same bill at, like, Taste of Chaos as a band like Killswitch Engage. Where's your line for girl music versus man metal?
Engage,
oh, I like that. Girl music
girl
versus
music.
Man metal.
Killswitch is sick.
That's fucking man metal right there, dude. But that's the line right there. That's
you would
the
say Killswitch?
Because I say when you start dipping right, into, like...
What about Bullet for my Valentine?
Exactly. That's exactly what I was going to say. As soon as you start dipping into that, from Killswitch to Bullet for My Valentine, that's when you start going to girl music. Asking
okay.
Alexandria, girl music. Look at their fans. I guarantee you, they're mostly girls and women.
Yeah, scene
yeah.
hairs and stuff.
Exactly.
Oh no, you're not.
So that,
you're not
that's,
wrong.
That's pretty much the line right there. But then, like, there's more obscure, like Portugal the Man, where you're like, it's not really girl music. It's pretty dark.
Like, well, yeah, indie, I think has a whole different thing to it. I think that's like where you start getting into the, you know, the people wearing sweater vests and, you know, interesting frame glasses. And
you know who I listen to?
Curled mustaches.
I listen to, you ever listen to Monty R.I.?
Dude, I love Monty R.I.
Yeah,
I was doing yard work listening to them.
Trumpets and shit.
Bro,
so, hard,
so good. There was to me, they were a band that was so ahead of their time and unique in what they did. They were so, like, talented as writers. Like, they made really interesting arrangements. I think what happened to them is their second album didn't do super well for how much they invested in it or something, and then they just dispersed or whatever, but they were so good. Are you familiar with that band? Have you ever heard of them?
I never heard that band.
Yeah, they're you would categorize
what
them probably
again?
Monty R.I. They're a band that actually,
Monty
I think the name
R.I.
came from, they named it after their old music teacher who got them all into music, and his name was Monty, sorry, or something, Montoya, like, was his last name,
right.
And they called him Monty, that was his nickname, and they were from Rhode Island, so it's a pun, it's Monty R.I.,
oh, okay.
But it's spelled out like R.I., like I.R. Monty or something like that.
Right.
But a very, very good band, very talented band. This is a band that, like one of those bands where in 2008, 2009, era, you
yeah.
would have you know, like Claudio Sanchez was the only guy doing, like, where he was like shredding and then he's also like singing at the same time. People were like, whoa.
See, that's
like,
another band
low level
order. I say
girl
Cody
music
is like it's like right there.
Yeah no, it's a blurry
good.
line. It's a blurry line,
dope,
yeah.
But, it's like
but yeah,
right,
so
the border of girl music,
I don't know, like let me see, what's another good, like, for example, Rufio is another good example of a band where the lead, dude, come on, pop punk. You never skated back
yeah,
in the day.
He was,
I skated every day.
He was a metalhead forever.
No, but I did.
Wait. How big did your jeans get? How big were your jeans?
I didn't wear big jeans. I wear.
I wore Dickies.
I wore Dickies, and I also had cut off Dickies where I cut them into shorts.
Yeah, so he's all metal. He's wearing like the baggy metal Slayer shirt, but he's got his little Daisy Dukes on. What's up, boys?
Not that far cut off. Jeez. I still have the ones that I cut too. My blue jeans, they were for school, and then I cut them when summer came.
That's a really high cut corduroy shorts.
Oh yeah, dude. Just call him Johnny Dukes over here.
I'm not gay, dude. And speaking of gay, Let's see what the Pro Bowl looks like this year.
They got pretty beanies on.
So stupid.
The beanies are nice.
Look, man, I grew up watching football, right? You know.
Yeah, I was going to. How do I do it?
Should be on the screen.
You have to float. Yeah.
And then just double click it?
It's on the, you see the right bottom?
Oh,
I see. Like every other video program.
Jeez. Dude, I don't use this program, right? I don't use anything.
Look at this.
It is still interesting to watch. It's kind of
it's
kind of funny to see people in normal garb on the field, is what I mean.
I do like Amon-Ra St. Brown, but dude,
you can tell they're having a good time.
Yeah, no, okay, yeah, okay, they're having a good time, but we're not. This is fucking whack.
I want to see you break your leg, break your leg, no. Break your leg.
No. Not about breaking the leg, but check it out. Why did they?
All right, that's just looped.
Dude,
and now I don't know how to get out of here.
For Pro Bowl selections, they pick
escape.
I don't even know what that button looks like.
With what the Pro Bowl is doing right now, okay. One of them is when they do Pro Bowl selection, they pick a whole full roster of teams on the AFC and the NFC. On each side, they pick a full team, right? And it's like an honor to get. It's like All Star, right? You become an All Star. That's basically what Pro Bowl is. You're an All Star player on the all-star team on your conference, right? Well, this year, there's only 7 people on the field, so it's not even a full team on the field. So you get Pro Bowl selected, and you're probably not even, you know, you're just like, all right, well, I'm not fucking playing.
They're all playing by weenie rules.
It's like, what's going on? And then it's flag football, so they don't have the cool NFC and AFC jerseys. They're wearing freaking shirts, right? They're not even wearing jerseys.
It's like Walmart fucking fan gear.
Like what? Yeah, exactly. And like, but what was cool is about it was seeing the NFC all wearing the blue jerseys, and then the Niner guys just wearing their Niner helmets, you know, and then Cowboys they're just wearing their Cowboy helmet. It's like dope to see your, you know, all the best players on each conference literally playing against each other. And yeah, they didn't go hard all the time, so the games were like, you know. Not
the most exciting.
Yeah, but back in the day, they were really crazy. Like, they were playing to win, you know. But as the years started going on in this soft country we live in, they started, you know, resulting to this bullshit. And it's not exciting anymore. I would never watch this, ever. I don't even think they're going to continue this pretty later on.
Oh, no, this is probably a very failed experiment. The backlash, I can't imagine.
Dude.
I guarantee you, people who actually give a shit about this, that's field, not what they're here for.
The field is 50 yards. It's not even a full football field.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying is, like, yourself, I know you're an impact. Hey, whoa, don't take it out on your vape, dude. It's all right. You want a hug? You want a hug? Do you need a hug?
Sock somebody, dude.
Do you need a hug, bro?
It's cool. No.
Dude, all right. He's like, no.
I was just telling him.
Put on BB King right now.
I was just telling him earlier. I was like, hey, you're really more. Because I kind of wish I was more into sports than I am. Because I don't follow any of this shit. You know what I mean? I feel like it's the most socially
acceptable
topic.
You're a Niner fan now. You're a Niner fan now.
Hey,
come on, dude. Come to our side.
Yeah.
My sister's
I'll come on
your dog side.
I'll come on your side. I was just fucking telling him the way he's into sports, it's like the way I'm into music.
Yeah.
But like my path in life is, you know, clearly friend accessible. Like it's, it's,
yeah, no,
you're
I don't
not know. Gonna go with all your. You're not gonna go with a room of 50 people and watch you produce a song.
Can you imagine? Like you go to a party and like, dude, is everyone here an engineer?
That's an not, engineering party, dude.
No, there is parties. Happen. No, there is parties like that, but they're not like parties. They're like networking events.
Yeah,
what are you gonna be doing? You're like, everyone's gonna be like, it's not like, you know, like you score a touchdown, everyone fucking freaks out.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, did you hear that snare? That snare is fucking. How'd you do that?
Yeah, exactly.
No, I could definitely see some like totally, and this to me, it's gonna come off as like totally hand jobby. But I could see something like, you know, like all like the big producers getting together and like watching Dan Corniff make a mix, and then there's like, oh look at, oh shit, saturation.
Yeah, it wouldn't be like that, I guess. Huh? But yeah.
There's just not the same level of excitement or you know, testosterone that goes into it, I guess.
Playing to their full ability. Wait, is it good? Check it.
I mean, that one's good for now.
But yeah, so that's my gripe with the Pro Bowl. I'm getting sick of it. I want to see some football. I want to see the best on both sides legitimately playing against each other. You know what I'm saying? Like, is that too much to ask for? Yeah, they don't have to go 100%, but damn, let them hit each other and stuff. Like, I want to see it. I want to see it happen.
Can I say it's pretty gay how impassioned you are about this? You're pretty impassioned about it.
It's like the Catalina wine mixer of games.
Seriously.
They're like, oh, good to see you.
Good to see you. I mean, they're having a good time, so whatever.
It's, you could tell they're out there having a. But like I said, I think the people who are here to watch it are not interested in seeing something like this.
This is just more for like exhibition shit, right?
Yeah. Well, it used to not be.
Why would you? Yeah.
No, but it used to. It's supposed to be. Think about baseball All Stars. The All Star team, they play each other legit.
No, I was focusing.
So this, they're not playing each other legit. They're just having fun out there. It's like, no, I want to see a legit game against the top.
You know what I've always wanted to see?
Huh?
Okay. So in the world of like, we have like reality shows and stuff. Wouldn't it be just the shit to see like full blown like either people, you know, were like Division III or like failed football stars or whatever, get their shot to like play on a professional field, like on an off day when the field is not being used. We just throw a bunch of dudes who don't know what the fuck they're doing in there. That'd be so fun to watch. I would watch that in a second, dude. And then you use outdated gear and pads.
Football is.
Yeah, dude. I think that'd be so fun. The recipe for entertainment there is there's something there. There's something
just like whoever wants to play, just
yeah. If you sign up, dude, it's like Wheel of Fortune. You get on.
Okay, you say that's obviously whack, right?
Yeah,
what do you think about rugby?
I think rugby's dope.
I'm not super familiar with rugby. Rugby's insane. Don't you have to have the fucking? You have like a little, like a staff with a.
That's lacrosse.
Lacrosse. That's what I confuse it with.
Rugby and Australian rules football are very, very aggressive. The guys don't use pads, and
No helmet, full contact.
They hit hard as shit. What I notice is rugby is like a bunch of like linebackers and like bigger dudes, like bulkier dudes. And then Australian rules football is a bunch of running backs and defensive backs and cornerbacks going full on hitting each other. Like,
see, now that's interesting to watch.
And shit. Have you ever seen that?
No.
Australian rules football is insane. And then
they just keep throwing it to each other down the field.
Yeah.
It's like soccer, but with yards.
Yeah, it's insane. So Australian rules football, you have to bounce the ball and shit, and to pass it, you have to like hit it like this, or you have to kick it to pass it. It's insane, dude. Australian rules football is dope. Rugby's really dope, but that's way different than the fucking gay Pro Bowl shit that we're watching.
Yeah, let's see this then.
Grown ass men, fucking multi-million-dollar athletes, freaking playing flag football. Nobody wants to see that.
Look at this.
This is cool, dude.
Oh! Fuck dude, yeah!
See, look how big these guys are.
Yeah, I see it.
Jeez!
Fuck!
Damn.
Boom, bitch!
Just
smashed into him. Boom!
Just pushed his neck, dude. You see that?
Yeah, right into his neck. Bah! Jaw too, got his jaw.
What tackle was that?
Ooh! This is what I like about busted.
These guys. They don't give.
Boom!
A
they're
shit.
Like, fuck you, dude.
He don't even care that he's bleeding out his face.
Ooh, and then you see that the hurt. Hard stop, dude. That shit is wild. Scoosh.
Let's see. That's a foul.
Fan fucking tastic.
That's a foul in the NFL.
Oh yeah, dude.
That's a horse collar.
It's a bitch. That's crazy. That's I will watch great, rugby dude. Every day for the rest of my life, I think.
Shee, look at that pass, dude.
I know. Behind the back.
Yeah,
oh, face plant, dude.
Look at that pass, dude. Woo.
Damn. Boom. Yeah, boom. He's tight, yep, dude. Right into his. Oh, oh my God. Boom goes the dynamite. That's Jesus, wild, dude.
Man.
I think we get the point of rugby hits, dude. That's crazy.
That guy got freaking wrecked, dude.
That's crazy. Rugby's wild, man.
I love rugby. Rugby's tight, dude. Yeah, I'm gonna start watching that legit now.
Honestly, dude, I'm gonna look for where I can watch it.
I'm gonna start watching them.
Dude, that's exciting. I bet you it's not. Is it the same sort of like rules as football?
What no, it's a lot different.
Yeah,
it's because it's an ongoing play. You know what I mean? There's not like a lot of setup.
Yeah, exactly. That's kind of what I'm
American
asking.
American football, it's like you got set up, you do it down, you got to set up.
Yeah, you're just playing. You're just playing a constant.
Yeah, same thing. That's intense. To check out Australian rules football. AFL? No, there's two different AFLs, so you have to actually type in Australian. Similar.
Oh, shit. You're going to ask me to spell Australian? Damn it.
But I feel like they're more athletic guys that play Australian rules football.
It is.
Yeah, I do like highlights or whatever. Dude, it's insane. One of my homies used to play this, and that's the only reason why I know about
it. Greatest moments right there.
Like you see all
that's fine.
These guys they jump like super high in the air and they like prop each other to get the ball. It's insane. I was like, dude, these guys are, if you look at them,
looks gay as hell though.
They're a lot more leaner guys.
Oh yeah, no, they're little, these are all twinks. This is twink ball.
But that's what I said, they're like running backs and like cornerbacks and defensive backs. But these guys hit, think about it, they're faster than rugby players, so they hit harder because of that.
This looks so much more exciting.
And then you get points for kicking in between. So there's no, like, touchdown. You got to kick it in between the poles.
Uh-huh.
You get more points for the middle.
Yeah.
And you get less points on the sides. But to score a point, you got to
Hey, Johnny, could you shut up and let me focus on all these hunks real quick? I mean, look at these.
This is a little gay, isn't it?
I mean, I'm here for the hunks. Dude, you were talking about girl music, dude. Let's see the ratio of the crowd, dude. Let's check out the ratio. Of the, yeah, all women.
A bunch of Matt Rife's up
here. Watch, dude. You're gonna look into one section is gonna be all like rainbow colored.
Sheesh. Now look out some hits though.
So it's like a giant basketball arrangement.
The arena is exciting because it looks like it's like a big round kind of field, right? Am I wrong?
It's pretty sick.
Yeah,
I like the way that field's set up. I like that.
Reminds me of Blitzball from Final Fantasy. Australian football hits. Let's see.
This guy's freaking
biggest AFL hits. Part one.
These guys get jacked, bro. It's insane. I was watching. I was like, man, American football is whack. Oh, hey. The way these guys hit each other.
Oh.
He got a hit to the face. They throw their bodies at people.
Oh!
The full
that body. Guy was like on him. It's a very particular kind of hit too. It's like a little like frog leap. Yay!
No, they throw their whole body at him.
Oh my gosh,
dude. They don't just throw their shoulder.
And
at
then
them.
Then the floor hit. Oh.
Oh! Right in the face! Boom!
That's a certain type of person to do that.
Oh, dude! You know that these guys will punch you in the face for looking at them sideways.
Full speed at them, dude! Look at his mouth, bro. Oh.
Sheesh. He just broke some teeth.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
Yep.
Damn, boy. Oh, oof. Man. Oh,
God damn!
Look at that guy.
Oh, he got knocked the fuck
out. Did I get it?
Yeah.
Did I get the ball? It's
convulsing.
Jesus, man.
What in the Christ, bro? Oh, both of them, they head knocked. They got a noggin knock. Yeah.
He's like, bro, you all right, man?
This is giving me so much fucking anxiety.
That's a noggin knock right there, look at this. Kablam! Oof.
So, what was that? Armpit to armpit.
Damn. Oh.
Give him the shoulder. You see that? Wow. Look at this.
Oh my gosh. And then the thing is, there's a second part when they hit the ground so hard.
Yeah. Ooh.
Because their body brings them down hard, bro.
Jesus.
Yes.
Man, I gotta start watching this too.
Honestly, I bet you that these are like moments that happen like rarely, like the big fights. But you know everyone's going fucking nuts in that stadium when that happens. Oh, that'd be so awesome, dude. It's the talk of live, it's the talk of the whole town for like the next week. Dude.
It's like 61-39.
Shit. Oh, 19 minutes into the third quarter.
20-minute quarters, dude.
Right.
Is that
right.
real?
That can't be right.
It's nonstop. That's why there's no stopping.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. So we're in the third quarter, 20 minutes left.
That's crazy.
Dude. That shit is wild, dude. Honestly, we gotta find our team. We'll start rooting for them.
Go to Australia every once in a while, watch a game. at least once a year.
I'd be mad to see one of those games.
That'd be crazy, bro. I'd love to watch that.
I'd be so wasted.
that would definitely elevate the situation. Speaking of which, you guys wanted to order some cutwaters. I'm open for that. If you wanted to take a little pause-a-roon. We're at a good hour 10, hour 15 right now.
So, all right, plugs.
That's it? Blend it? All right. Fuck it.
Hey. Plug-a-roon-skis. Johnny, you're up.
No, I'll go last. Anthony, go for it.
Okay, I'll go for it. I'm currently plugging my asshole. It's been great with my dick. Yeah. Just not much. Just the nerd-worthy stuff. This stuff, you know, obviously you know what this is, the Stool Podcast. Nerd-worthy show on YouTube, premieres every Monday. We got Dead Widow stuff coming down the pipe, a show on April 17th with the Bunny the Bear and Broken Side. Come check us out.
That's dope with Bunny the Bear.
Yeah, it's gonna be fun, man. It's gonna be an awesome, cool. awesome show that night. So everybody who wants to come out, hit me up for tickets at Dead Widow CA on Instagram. And then that's about it. I got some new tensions music around the corner and some production projects, but that's later. So Mick, your turn.
Yeah, Mick Stradamus at MICK Stradamus, like Nostradamus. You know what I mean? I had fun with that. It's pretty cool.
I tried to make him change it to Nickelodeon, but he didn't want to.
You should have done the whole full really long title. MICKEY, because I gotta. Is that too long? It's too long. I understand. MOUN. Oh, we can't. I don't want to copyright it. But yeah, continue.
At Mixtradamus, got new music coming out. This year, I got a new project that's coming out called Cherry Code. We're working on this stuff behind the scenes. And new song with B Dunce on February 14th. Keep a lookout for that. And it's all done.
First of all, one of my homies, shout out to Joe. He used to be the Bear. And I wonder if he's filling in, because he's basically filled in with them for a long time. I gotta ask him because I want to go to that show.
If you, it's a Wednesday. I'll get you a free ticket if you want it, or free tickets.
Yeah, let me know which day. I want to go to that.
Yep.
Those guys are so good live.
Oh, dude, I love that band.
He's crazy, dude. Yeah, he's awesome.
Yeah, I love that band. I've followed them for years now, and I've just always been a fan of their unique style.
Yeah, my brother's band Jambi played a little tour with them. They had like a 4-day.
Sick.
And we went to one. It was Dr. Acula. It was Jambi and Bunny the Bear.
Sick.
And that show was crazy. And I seen all those New York dudes from Bunny the Bear literally take people out of the venue because they were crowd killing. Literally, I seen the Bunny go, get these guys.
Yeah, get them removed, yeah.
And swarmed these guys and literally kicked the shit out of them and threw them out.
Damn.
It was insane. It was pretty sick. Those guys are awesome.
Yeah.
Shout out Bunny the Bear. These guys are dope. Yeah. So basically for me, it's just at Johnny Savage, JONNYSAVAG, and everywhere, you know, Twitter, IG, YouTube, all that good stuff. I got some solo music coming out soon. It's gonna be this year for sure. I'm gonna start dropping some stuff in the hip hop realm. My band DNG Heavy, everywhere, YouTube and IG, we dropped another music video a couple weeks ago. That one is out now. Check it out.
And before we wrap up, new merch line coming out for you guys.
Yes. Keep an eye out for that. You got some new merch coming out.
We'll be posting links up in the comment in the status below. So go check that out.
Yes. But our new song coming out Cup of Song coming out February 14th. What, only like a few days? And yeah, so look out for that. I think that's it. Yeah.
That's a wrap, boys.
You guys listening. Thank you very much. The Stool Podcast. We're out. We're out.
Bye, everybody. Okay, cool. That's done. And then let's go ski. And there you go. Wow. That's one.
That was fun.
That was fun. And honestly, we got into that rugby stuff. That shit was hilarious. That was great.
I'm telling you, that shit is nuts, dude. That sport right there.
My buddy, I'm going to try to spread that shit like wildfire. That seems like a more exciting thing to watch.
Yeah. my buddy used to play out here in Rancho. There was like a league out here somewhere. They played this
in a league. I'm like, what the fuck? It was the top ones.
Just the ones that we went through?
It's Music Dooms.
Provo's Gay.
Songs that make us depressed.
Which ones didn't we get to?
Just the Rise of Science Murderers and then Fake It Till You Make It.
Cool. We have another music related segment or topic. That's good. It's good. There was a lot of music involved. We were barely even funny the first 45 minutes.
Oh, well, no, I like that we were talking some good stuff, man, about the, you know, like the AI. I think we got some insight on there, some good insightful shit.
People were saying in the YouTube comments that they like how insightful we are about music.
Yeah, that's cool. So that's cool. I think that's direct feedback to show us that we need that balance because we have – let's say, you know, we already talked about how we're doing like the Legion of Skanes thing. It's like, you know, we have the three of us talk about whatever bullshit, whatever. Mm-hmm. But we also have an edge to it. We come from a music background, exactly. And so that's what we know, and so we bring that to the table.
And that's what I was telling Mick in the beginning. Like, if we do the podcast, I want it to be very heavily music influenced because that's what we all know.
Yeah,
you know, that was like the idea from the beginning is to make it funny. But if we get into serious talk about music, like. We run it, you know, because that's what we love. That's what we're passionate about.
That shit worked good. How's the battery on the Nikon? Should we charge it before the next one?
We got another one right down the floor.
Yeah, it's already all red.
Oh, yeah. Let's turn it off. Get the other battery in there.
I wonder if the thing came.
Oh, he bought another one of these, but for
this one. Nikon? I can go check right now. I'm going to have a cigarette.
Are you going to have time, dude?
I don't know. I'll try to fit it into my cigarette schedule.
You're gonna be up here 2 seconds.
Yeah, this is delivered.
I'll see. Shall I order some cuts or what?
Yeah, we haven't gone yet.
I was gonna, but then we started going. So,
we have Steel Brothers on there.
I can check.
Steel Brothers is just would be the fastest. It sucks at fucking even more, bitch.
He doesn't switch them.
He doesn't do shit. I'm just like hoping that I blew it this time.
It's gonna be him again.
But it's him gonna be mad, dude.
Stay the bros.
Bonds.
They have the guts.
Long is right down the street.
They have the cut water. It's like cut watermelon. Number one. Man, those are the fucking mystery pods.
See?
They don't have the... That's the one?
In this game.
Nice. Clamp it.
Oh, shit.
Tight, bro.
Legitimacy. It's long as fuck. That's pretty tight.
Makes it even more compact.
Let's get it. That's what I'm saying, dude.
That's useful. Like, even for doing other shit.
That's what I'm saying.
Cool. Damn it, they don't have the fucking mission call off, dude. The white Russian one.
Has this been
power too far?
Thought that just need batteries for everything.
Well, it just has a little fucking rubber thing too.
Does it?
Yeah. With a wire.
That's so crazy.
Future is now. Hey, I'm gonna light another incense, cool?
Shut the fuck up.
Pick one.
Options?
Alright, we probably don't need all these boxes on. Let's go throw everything in the bag.
Chale? You're professional. Professional, dude.
Mira, professional.
Well, easy money. And there's this guy I used to work with, Pedro. His English was so bad, right? But he worked, I used to work the Dacamola job. Every time, but his English was terrible. He didn't speak to nobody because he was like, there was a lot of white guys that worked there, but he was just kind of like doing work and shit. And the only thing he had to say to me was, easy money.
That was the only line he had. I'm like, easy money? He's like, easy money.
That's all he knew. That's all he fucking knew.
That's pretty great.
Yeah, it's like my buddy Tony, man. He's just like, oh, is it good? It's good. And he says, like, easy money.